I'm recording. Everyone's recording. Let's do this.
Double check. Yep.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Listen, dear listeners.
That was a great start. Oh my goodness.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Welcome, dear listeners. This is the Devon Dice Podcast. This is our Essen Spiel Fair preview episode. Hi, I'm Joel, host of the podcast, and joining me tonight we have Nick.
Hello, everybody.
And Sam.
Howdy.
Yay. Welcome, guys. Right, so we've got the our annual preview of the Essen Fair and all the hotness that is coming out of it this year. That's all we're going to really talk about on this episode. So if you're waiting to see what juicy news we've got for you or what games we've been playing, then you're out of luck. We are
listen
just going
to the next
gonna
episode
be
after this.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully.
We're just going to be talking about all the games we won't be playing over the next couple of years, but really want to.
Definitely. There was a plan for me to be going this year to the show, but due to some unfortunate circumstances, I won't be going. But hey-ho, life happens.
Maybe next year. Maybe next
year.
Yeah,
hopefully next year. That is the plan. So yeah, right. So we've been looking at lots and lots of games on Board Game Geek. I've been using Tabletop Together tool and seeing what the new hotness coming out on at the show and seeing if there's anything that's caught our eyes. And by looking at our list we've put on the script, there's a lot of stuff. I think we're going to have time to get through it all.
Quite conservative because there's like 1,100 games now on the Essen preview list.
It's ridiculous. A lot of it is.
We've got less
old
than 5%.
Stuff.
It's fine. Yeah, there's reprints and reworkings of games, but
yeah, and sometimes they just put stuff on that came out like last year or the year before, and it's like that's already been
stuff
out,
already released,
kind
yeah.
of thing. So, but other than that, there is a lot of new stuff coming out, and we're going to try and get through it all. And starting off with a bit of quick news, which is all related to one of the hottest games that came out at last year's show, and that is there's a Forest Shuffle scoring app that's been released for iOS and Android. And Nick, have you used it? Have you tried it?
I have not yet tried it. I have downloaded it, but I have not yet tried it. So this is by the guys from Digidiced, and it allows you to basically you scan each tree in your tableau, including all the cards attached to it, and then once you've scanned them all, it will calculate all the points for you, which would make it so much easier than manually counting things, points up and missing things and forgetting and things. But I'm keen to try it. I just need to get an opportunity to play Forest Shuffle. But it does look very nice. They've done it very nicely.
Yeah, definitely. I've downloaded it, and I will hopefully once I got a bit of free time, I will have a game and then try it out. So,
yeah.
Which could lead on to one of the very first new hotness coming out at the show, in that there's a new expansion for Forest Shuffle coming out, and that's the Woodland Edge, which if I was there, I would definitely be picking up. So, I think it's bringing in a new mechanic of side stuff going on the side of your forest, I believe.
Yeah, it's like hedgerows and things that grow in the hedgerows. There are I've read the kind of the overview of it, but I have not seen. It's apparently is on BGA, and I did try and spin up a game, but with just randos and no one joined it.
Oh,
I'll be definitely
up for that.
Game,
spin up a game
with those added in.
Yeah,
There are things like shrubs and hedgerow things that do extra. I don't think it's not hugely different. It just adds some more variabilities, more ways to get points from cave, and hopefully dilute the wolf deer strategy a bit more.
Definitely, That's the only way they, I think they can get away with it, is keep adding cards here.
Yeah, without nerfing some of the cards, I think that's
what we can do. So yeah, it looks really cool. Love Forest Shuffle. One of my favourite games I picked up at last year's show. So more expansions is well welcome for that game.
It's always good, yeah.
Go on then, Nick. What do you got?
Oh, one from my list.
What are you excited about?
So my top one is the new Steffenfeld Civolution. I have been watching some of the playthroughs that have come out for this. So I watched Paul Grogan's playthrough of it, which was earlier this week. And I'm now partway through the heavy cardboard playthrough of it. It looks pretty darn good. It looks very complicated. The heavy cardboard teach is about an hour and a half long, just for the teach. So there's a lot going on. He's kind of gone a bit Uwe Rosenberg in his in Mr. Feld's design here, where he's got 18 different resources and there are different piles everywhere and different tracks that go along, and action, 18 different actions you can upgrade, stuff everywhere. But it comes together in a very well thought out package, and it looks like it works very well. So I'm very excited to see that.
Yeah, I remember he was demoing it. Well, probably not Feld, but the company were demoing it last year at the show. And there was like four or five demo slots over the weekend. And
they all instantly went, didn't they? Yeah,
you were playing the whole game. So like, if you were one of the lucky four to sit in one of those sit-ins, then you got to see the whole game. So I was just like, that's just crazy. Why would you limit? It seems to be a trend that they play the whole game. But
You can get the feel for it with just one round. But if it takes an hour to teach, then it seems a bit... Because then, a round's only going to be 45 minutes. So it would feel a bit...
With certain... Like those sort of games, you could set it up stage around, couldn't you, where you set it up and then it's like, right, so you would actually play this and then you can demonstrate all the intentions of the game as it stays. I know they're not making any decisions themselves, but I think that's a good way of demonstrating a heavy game like that to the public. Indeed. And probably getting more people to do that than having a select few to just see the whole thing. Hey-ho. That's how they've always done it, I believe. So, So, Sam.
Yeah. My first one is Skull Queen. So, I've talked about it a lot on the podcast in the past already. Skull King is one of our favourite games on our regular nights. And this is essentially a kind of sort of sequel to it, really, with Skull Queen. I don't know much beyond that, other than the fact that it's essentially more of the same in a way. Count me in. It'll be the first one on my list to go and get.
I'm excited for this as well. If I remember correctly, the kind of the difference is that you are bidding on how many tricks you're going to win from each suit individually at the start of the game. And from then, it's kind of a similar then mechanic with them skulking, but that's kind of the difference there. Is you're kind of pre-betting on all your suits. It sounds good.
Yeah. And as ever, we're a big fan of any little twist on trick taking. So, it would be straight in the collection of little box games for me.
And my word, are there a lot of trick takers on the Essen list this year?
Yeah, I did relent, and even though I've said before we started recording that I would not put more than one on here, I have actually put another one on my list now. So. We'll get to that one later.
So my next one is another expansion, and I would have pre-ordered it if I was going, because you can pre-order it through them, and it's Coffee Rush Piece of Cake. So Coffee Rush did come out last year at Essen, sold out very quickly. And when I went and spoke to the stand people that were doing it, I can't remember the company, like Korean Board Games or something like that. They said, Asmodee's brought the rights to the game and it probably won't be out until next year. But fortunately, it came out actually really quick because I had it by the it came out pretty much February afterwards, because we were playing it at the Devon Board Game Weekend. The core game itself actually does a good job of representing that kind of coffee, that cafe kind of app rushing game where you've got to serve customers very quickly. And the components are just glorious, like the like actual leaves and coffee beans and ice cubes. And yeah, it's like very, very good production, very good game. Everyone enjoys it. This one adds in the new element of having cake with your coffees or your drinks. And you're getting you're getting little cakes. So I don't know how it's going to work in. I was just trying to read it up quickly. But I mean, just to the fact now you're getting cakes and you can have cake with your coffee. It's an instant purchase for me. So I'm looking forward. Fingers crossed it's going to be released very soon to the UK, because I will definitely get a copy of this. So I'll go into another one, and it's one of the top, one of the biggest hotness I think everyone's after this year. And it's been discussed a few times already, and that's Rock Hard 1977. So this is the one where you're trying to become an up and coming rock star, and it's a worker placement game. And I do love the fact that they're talking about using candy as giving you an energy boost, so you can do more actions. But you're going to have a sugar crash in the next day where you won't be able to take so many actions, or you actually miss part of the day because you've slept in. So it sounds really quite cool. I would definitely have tried to pick up a copy if I was going this year, just to have it. But I'm pretty sure it'll be out quite soon in the UK anyway. So it's one of the big ones. Everyone's talking about it. I believe a lot of like other podcasts and other YouTube shows will have this on high on their list.
Yeah.
As an acquirement.
And so this is a De Vere published game as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so continuing De Vere's good standing of games. Right, one for me then. So my next is De Crew Family. I don't know why the word family is in English and De Crew is still in German, but that's the way it goes. This is the third installment in the series of The Crew, which was the cooperative trick-taking game. This one changes it quite a lot. This is no longer really trick-taking. Having watched the overview that Taylor Rayner did from Taylor's Trick-Taking Table, it's more kind of like cooperative Uno, which is very bizarre. It still has kind of trick-taking rules, but it is in effect, it is your following number or color. It's still got the missions, so you've got like the 50 missions, and there's some story about you being lost on an island and you're trying to escape or something like that. But thematically, it doesn't really make much sense. But the gameplay is that you are cooperatively trying to complete missions, and the missions are things like you must have these certain colours played out, because you're all going to have the same a set of cards, all dealt out, so you all have the cards, but you have to, all the tricks have to include certain numbers in certain sequences at certain times. And I think it sounds very interesting. It is certainly much lighter weight than the original Crew. The estimated playing time is 20 minutes, which is not dissimilar to the Crew, but it from what I've seen, it feels much more like a family level, you'd play this with your kids type thing. So I thought it'd be quite an interesting thing to play with my kids if I could pick it up. They love Uno, they play Uno all the time. And I think this would give them a nice little link in to this kind of cooperative mission-based game. So, Sam, what's next on your list?
Yes. Sorry, I was just contemplating what to say about the Crew Family.
Yeah, I was trying to. I couldn't think of anything.
I think silence kind of said more than anything in the end, and I was very conscious of that.
It will not suit everyone, I don't think.
No, my opinions of the Crew are well known on the. So my next one is a game from the now unfortunately no longer operating, or soon to be not operating, game brewer Bone Wars. And actually I was actually so interested in this one that I've actually bought it from them already. So if I was going to Essen, wow, I would definitely be coming home with it. I can't, in all good conscience, make the one person I know who's going from my group bring it home with him, because it's probably a big whopper. Yeah. It's called Bone Wars, which is essentially it's a worker placement game around paleontology, around a real pair of historical dudes who, and I think it was known as the Bone Wars, these two paleontologists who got into a contest about who could discover the most different species of dinosaur. So these two guys, Marsh and Cope, they had this big unofficial contest, essentially, in the or rivalry in the 1800s. One of them found, I just had a quick look, one of them found 80 species, the other one found 56. So together they discovered a huge number of different dinosaur species. Anyway, the game is essentially reliving that, with players being paleontologists hunting dinosaurs, dinosaur species. All anyone really needs to do is A, see the artwork, B, it's dinosaur themed, I've got to have that, but also worker placement, different worker types, multi-use cards, hand management, perfect. All these different things just kind of
what
add
is
up
not
to
like.
That yeah, exactly. So it does sound good. There's very, very little information on it because I think it's a Kickstarter or a Game Found Jobby or something from a while ago. In terms of like text reviews on BGG, there's not very many. There's one solo one I read, and they were like very glowing about it, so that'll have to do for me. But yeah, it does look really cool, and I thought, well, you know what? I actually bought the Palaces of Carrara from Game Brewer's site because it was on sale as part of their kind of fire sale. And I thought, well, to make the most of delivering from the Netherlands, let's grab a copy of Bone Wars while I'm at it. So yeah, if I was there, I'd be coming home with it. I'm not, so I've bought it anyway.
Fine.
Cool. So another one I'm looking at, and it was actually on Nick's list, and because then I put it on there.
Joel stole it.
I stole it, so do apologise. This is Babylon. And I think we spoke about this in the previous podcast, because it's really cool. It's like a 3D building of the Babylon Gardens. So you have this board in the center, and it's got holes in the board, and then you can put columns in, and then you can, on top of the columns, you can put platforms, which are the gardens, the floating gardens of Babylon, or what are they, whatever it is, and then you can put bridges in and steps up, and it's got a lot of plastic, probably more than a Simon game has. So yeah,
but
just
it does
go
look
through
very cool. Yeah,
it does look very cool. So good. Definitely, I would try and pick this up if it is purchasable. But yeah, and at the end of the day, I think most games actually do come to the UK quite quickly now. Few years ago, it could be a hit and miss whether it arrived in the shops or not. But most likely. I mean, like last year, I picked up loads of games, and then by the time I got back, half of them were already out in shops. And I was just like, I need to go all that way for them? So I think, next time I go, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious on what I actually pick up. Because they were probably
a bit carried away, isn't it?
Yeah, and they were a lot cheaper. As you'll probably find out in our next podcast when we discuss my purchases from last year. Like, one of them came back and it was pretty much half price when it came into the shops. And I was just like gutted. But
that is crazy, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Babylon, it just looks cool, so cool. The fact that you are building this like table exhibit piece in the middle of the table. And so yeah, I reckon it'd be a real good eye catcher when you are playing that. So yeah, definitely.
Yep, definitely. Would have
try and picked it up. I'm just trying to see if I can find it again. I can't find my list.
Just for clarity, it was also on my list, but I didn't include it because I saw that Nick had done it. So,
so Nick stole it from Sam, and then I stole it from Nick.
Slightly harsh. But
yeah.
There we go.
No, it's fine.
Cool. That's a good one. Next on my list, I'll have to open this one because I can't remember the exact detail. This is a solo-only game by Scott Arms.
Sam's fallen asleep already.
Yep. I knew there was a reason I didn't have it on my list, and now I've been. I thought this is cooperative, I bet, and then it's like, oh no, it's solo only, and now definitely
it's solo. So, you'll love the theme as well. So, this is a solo bag building game about running a Spanish seafood canning company. So, if that piques your interest, have a look. It's bag building. It is an interesting sounding game. It's encouraging sustainable fishing practices by the way that you draw the fishing tiles out of the bag, and you need to kind of properly manage the fishery, so you don't completely drain it and you leave enough time for it to grow more, for fish to grow again. There are scenarios to vary the gameplay up, so it tweaks the rules. The artwork is beautiful. It just, for me, it sounds really, really interesting. Obviously, you have to like solo games, but yeah, I think this one looks really nice. I do like some of Scott Arms' games. I don't like all of them, but most of them that he does, I like. And I think he does some pretty good solo games as well. And this is published by Salt and Pepper Games, so I'm looking forward to this. It looks quite fun.
Yeah, I like the theme of it, actually, to be fair. It's and I think it's something we're seeing a lot of lately, is this kind of like the pressures of the real world being sort of highlighted by game design as well, in terms of the theme.
Yeah, which I think is a very good thing to add in.
Yeah. Cool. Well, to continue my stereotype as someone who likes things like science, my next one is Galileo Galilei. which I know pretty much nothing about, other than the fact that I really like the cover and it's science themed, because obviously it's about Galileo, the 16th century Italian scientist. And it also says in the mechanics, deck, bag and pool building, which is always a favourite sort of mechanic. But I think the idea is, excuse me, you're essentially playing an astronomer attempting to discover planets and celestial bodies and stuff like that, which is sounds cool. It's got cool little tracks, it's got proper little meeples, got lots of dice,
and it's got little telescopes that you swivel around to select your actions as well,
it's like quite a novel kind of that could have been anything, just put a cube on a spot, couldn't
indeed
it? But yeah, they've tried to make it kind
but
of
yeah,
thematic
add
at
the
same time.
Yeah, add something to it.
Yeah, but yeah, the presentation of it looks really nice. I have to say,
yeah,
really good. What I like is like they sort of show, if you look on BGG, you'll see the kind of there's a photo showing the box, three part box essentially, where it's like the lid. You put that next to box in pro, the box bottom in profile, and then put another box back next to it, and it kind of creates this full pattern with a planet, with Jupiter and the solar system kind of thing. It looks really cool. But yeah, it's just one of those that's got very thoughtful kind of graphic design, as well as it being a kind of cool, a really interesting theme and part of history, scientific history. It just rings all the bells for me.
Yeah, this was on my list as well. Not my on the script, but it's on my big list. And I watched some of Rado's run through of this one, it looked interesting. It's kind of feels like kind of standard midweight Euro style, with things you're doing. But I like the theme. I think it's really nice. And it looked like it played nicely.
And let me guess, Rado liked it.
I didn't go to the final thoughts. I just watched his play. I don't need to watch his final thoughts because they're all saying that he liked it.
No. It does this nice for me as well. It'd be interesting to see what it's like when you get it, Sam.
if and when.
If and when. My next one would be... Now, it's definitely not going to be on sale. It's coming to Kickstarter soon. So it's a late entry, because I've just seen like the video that Man vs. Meeple did. And it's called Western Legend Stories. So I'm a big fan of the Western legends. I've got all the stuff, done all their Kickstarters. So Western Legends was meant to be this kind of like Red Dead Redemption kind of board game where you're moving around the West, Wild West, and you can do whichever you want to earn points and things like that. Western Legends Stories is based on the same kind of tropes as Western Legends, but it's got nothing to do with it. It's not an expansion. It is its standalone thing, but it's like a campaign box, and it actually looks like it actually represents like Red Dead Redemption, the video game, more so, because you're exploring the land, and it starts off with these kind of jigsaw piece tiles, like Ticket to Ride Legacy does. And you'll put tokens out that will represent kind of points of interest. There's no stickers. They're actually tokens. And to continue game after game, they actually suggest taking photos of your, like, the final board. So when you come to play it again, you'll then put out these tokens where they were before. And that also allows you then to replay the game in later scenarios, in later, after you've completed the first time. But you also move around and you might meet NPCs, kind of character event cards, which then whatever decisions you make talking to that NPC will result in probably stuff happening in the future, or might not. It all depends on what the decisions you make. And they'll always be, some of them might be different, because there's like lots of starting cards that these NPCs could have. So there's a lot going on. The video is really good, what Man vs. Meeple did, of trying to show off as much as they could without spoiling it too much. So it's got me really excited. I mean, they've demoing it, they're showing us a lot of stuff up there at Essen, so I would have popped along to get a peek at it. But yeah, this should be on a coming to Kickstarter soon kind of bit. But yeah, I had to get it in here and highlight it.
Cool. Yep. Always look good. Looks really nice. Right. Next on my list. Getting through these. So my next one is my first trick taking game on the list. I think it's my only trick taking on the list, because I've been very restrictive because there were so many. But this one is called Fishing. And this is by Freedom and Fries. And you are playing tricks to catch fish. A very basic idea. But the interesting thing here is that you play over a number of rounds. And each round, the cards that you have won from tricks become your deck for the next round. And if you don't have enough cards to make up a deck, then you draw up from this ocean deck, which gives you more powerful cards. So there is a very interesting, I think, push and pull of you want to win tricks because you score them every round, but you also want to get these more powerful cards into your hand to be able to get stronger hands for the next round. I think that sounds like a fascinating little twist on trick taking. And it's Freedom and Fries. It's got some quirky little artwork in. It just looks really fun. So yeah, I would very much like to try that one.
I'd break the habit of a lifetime in not touching Freedom and Fries games. Just to have a go at that one as well, so goes to show the idea of it transcends. Right.
Yes, transcends the designer.
There's also a shocking lack of green, which I love. I mean, there's a green box and stuff, but it's not like it's nothing. It's not all nauseatingly green, which is kind of
it's
nice.
It's not great for colorblind, is it? Really, if everything's green.
Yeah, exactly. That's half the reason I can't stand the Freedom and Fries games half the time. It's just because they're so green.
So green. This one is much more blue.
Yeah.
But then they're not. It's just a box, really, and then you get it out.
Like, all the cards are really colourful, and
I was playing.
Power Grid's very green.
Yeah. No, I was playing Power Grid the other day. It was really brightly coloured once we finished. But
I don't mind Power Grid. I've played Power. I don't mind Power Grid too much. But it's just the visual off-puttingness of most of his stuff. Just
just
looks, and him being green as well. He's just like, oh. I know it's a brand, but for goodness sake.
But this has actually bucked the trend, so I'm quite impressed. This is attracted you, even though it is free.
Exactly. And in the vein of small games in our list, my next one is the new Oink game coming this year called Souvenirs from Venice.
Yes.
which sounds actually really cool. So in this one, you lay out this grid of tiles on the board, essentially like it's like one of those kind of little face down, and then as you travel around this grid of tiles with your little boats, because you're kind of on Venice, you're a little canals and stuff, so you're sort of discovering spots to go to and then buy souvenirs, and what you're essentially doing is you're trying to do a set collection essentially of all the different types, and various things will kind of get in the way of doing that and what you score and all that sort of stuff. But it just looks typical Oink charm simplicity of presentation, but you know, interesting and involving gameplay. So yeah, I would obviously be adding this one to my Oink collection, I think.
It looks good.
I didn't even realise it was an Oink game, because it looks quite dull on the front, but yeah.
It's their box size, isn't it? It's that classic.
Yeah, but they're not the only ones doing that kind of now, are they? There's a few companies that are locked onto this.
I suppose there are, but they are the ones known for it, for mm-hmm. the box size. So, yeah, all the components are small and fit in that little box.
Mm.
Yeah, that looks
what's exciting. It and what's interesting is I'm actually looking at the Japanese cover, and I can actually, because I'm learning a little bit of Japanese for my trip, I can almost read what it says.
Yeah.
So, I'm getting close so cool. to being able to do it, so yeah. Don't quiz me on it though, I'm still working it out.
Right, my next one. Is this Japanese or is this like Chinese? I can't remember. So this caught my eye. I mean, it's not a full picture of the cover. It was just kind of a picture of all the components. And then I read into it a bit more. And it's called Big Q. And it's a dexterity game. It seems silly. It seems wacky. I don't know how long it would last when you actually play it, but you're basically making a big pile of meeples and then with a single finger pushing specific colours into your play area, trying to create sets without knocking over the pile and making a noise. It was an out there one. I mean, it could be the worst game ever, but I was just like, it's a small box. It could quite easily just pick it up and just say, let's give it a try. Box, yeah. I have to bring in a dexterity element for one of them, and this will be it.
That's very cool. Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Very nice.
Big Q.
Very nice. Yeah. Next on my list is one of the only two-player games I will mention. Far too many duel games going on, but this one is King of Tokyo Duel. And having watched kind of an overview of it from the Board Game Geek, this actually, Dunking, the Game Boy Geek, this actually looks really interesting. It looks like a really interesting version of King of Tokyo for specifically two players. They've done away with the winning purely by points thing, and it's just tracks now that you're trying to get to the end of. They've added ways to get more power cubes to encourage you to buy more power-ups to make it more interesting and keep it going. It's an interesting pull and push mechanism, like they've used in Seven Wonders Duel and the forthcoming Lord of the Rings Duel. There's kind of two push and pull tracks where you're trying to get to the end of one of them, and there are ways you can slow your opponent down or speed your own tracks up and things. It sounds really interesting. I would very much like to try that. If it resolves the issue of King of Tokyo that I have, which is if you're playing a five-player game and three of those players get eliminated early on and the two remaining end up just going back and forth for 45 minutes, then this would be really cool. I think this sounds really good.
Yeah. No, that's just having a look at it now. And actually, the artwork and everything is all slightly different, just kind of keeping in keeping with the King of Tokyo, like classic King of Tokyo as well. It's like, it's not like the new cartoonish style. It's actually kind of harkens back to the old style, like the first edition or second edition. I like it. Yeah, I like it. Cool. Colour me interested.
Excellent.
And my colour of interest is not green. my next one is one that I literally only looked at today, as a matter of fact. It's not for sale. It'll be a demo at Essen. And it's the new Alley Cat game coming next year called Baghdad. And it's by the team of Lopiano and Mangone, who are
fantastic,
pretty damn strong. You know, it's got to be worth a look. There's not much about it, to be honest. It kind of, the reason I kind
it's
of
added it,
it's yeah, well, it's got hand management, rondel, and worker placement as the three listed sort of mechanics. So again, all the things I really like. It kind of has a little bit of a sort of hint of Istanbul to it, in a sense, to me, but much more complicated. If you have a look at the, I did add a link to the Kickstarter preview, which is the rather than the Board Game Geek one. That sort of gives you a better. That's the only picture of the board, so it looks pretty cool. Big circular board, lots of stuff going on. So the whole board is like this giant rondel, and you're moving your dudes around this kind of rondel to sort of take different actions. So I don't know any more about it other than that. It does look really nice, and it's by a really good design team. So I'm very interested, and it's quite sweet actually. Caesar, the main guy at Alley Cat, the chief of Alley Cat Games, he says on his on the profile that actually he is from Baghdad, I believe, and his father was the one that wrote the all the Arabic lettering on the box and stuff. So
that's so cool.
It's quite sweet. It's like a real personal project. So quite nice. And again, it's kind of that thing of Alley Cat kind of trying to go down that, they're going down that route of doing slightly heavier kind of big production Euros now. So it's be interesting to see how this one turns out, because it's got good pedigree around the board. So I'm interested, very interested.
Very cool.
I'm going to do a collection of little games for my next one, because they're all kind of in the kind of same kind of genre, where it's kind of deduction, like escape roomy kind of style games, and there's lots of sets as well that are coming out for them. So one's called Guilty, one's called Mini Crimes, I believe, and the other one's called Medical Mysteries. So Guilty is there's a few of them, as I said. This one I picked Houston 2015. And you're a detective. There's been a murder at a women's penitentiary or jail, and you've got 24 hours basically to find out what happened before you give a press conference. And then you go in, and you've got your suspects, or you've got the other inmates and guards, and you've got to question them and look for the details in it. Looks very good. It's a one-off play. Once you've done it, you know the story to it. It'd be the same with all of them. Medical Mysteries. Now, this could be quite interesting, because Claire, being a nurse, she likes all this stuff. And I actually quite like medical stuff as well. And this one is, it's from Cosmos, which do the exit games. And these are real life medical mysteries that you've got to solve between you. So again, it's like basic, like the exit games. Once you know it, I wonder if it's going to have that kind of outside of the box kind of thinking as well to do with it, of trying to solve the mysteries to it. So again, I would be really interested in picking this up. And the other one, I think this is like a Mini Crimes, is like it's a 6-part chapter set where again you're solving a mystery to it. And it's just these little things are quite cool. It's like you could pick these up and like just keep them in your car, and then when you're stuck at somewhere, then you can just break out and try and solve it. Or kind of good dinner games, if you know what I mean. So if you go around and have dinner with friends and that, and they're, oh, have you brought something? It's like, oh yeah, I've got this kind of murder mystery or escape room kind of game. You could bring this out and say, right, we can solve this together. So
So yeah, there's a selection of these one-off murder mystery escape room kind of games that I thought looked really good. And again, there was, they brought out a lot for these sets, so there'd be a good choice to suit everyone's tastes, I would say. But yeah, I'll definitely pick up the medical mysteries. That'd be a good one to go and get for myself. So yeah.
They sound very cool. Yeah, I like the do like these mini little games.
Mm. I love the exit games. I think they're brilliant. Mm. They're frustrating because sometimes yeah. sometimes it's right there in your face and you don't realise it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I looked at the mini crimes one, I think, when I was looking through the yes and list, and it looked interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Right, mine, the last one officially on my list. This is one that I thought was just a little bit different that I put in. This is called Ras, A Dance of Love. That's R-A-A-S, A Dance of Love. And this is a dice drafting tableau building game based on the dart style of Garba Ras, which is, I don't know where that's where it sounds, Spanish or Mexican.
Indian. It says
it's Indian. Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, this is it's an interesting one. It's got kind of like interlocking gears, if you can think like Tolkien has their gears where that moves around. But these have got dice on each of those discs, and as the players dance around, they're moving the kind of the discs around, and all those twist in different ways, and you're trying to position them to pick the right dice at the right time as you dance around, and to match up, get the right dice for your score that you're trying to get, and matching the tempo of the dance and things. I just thought it was a fascinating concept. It's got some, it hasn't got a lot of artwork in there yet, but the cover is really pretty. Kind of a almost impressionist level art. And then the actual gears are very nice little, like chunky, almost wooden-like things that rotate around. It looks really interesting. I don't know how it'll be in play, but it sounded really good. So I thought I would bring that one up.
Hmm. I mean, it's making my head hurt already, so it should be interesting.
Yes, I did note on my list. I hope it's not as brain-burny as Tolkien's Gears.
Yeah, it kind of looks more like Five Tribes level of, oh my God, what do I do now? Kind of paralysis.
Yeah, but it's got less things than Five Tribes.
Yeah, be interesting to see how that turns out.
Mm-hmm.
And again, plus one for another very strange, different theme. So it's kind of
indeed.
Not many games based around dancing. So
yeah,
good inspiration for kind of from mechanic as well with regards to the turning of the things. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
definitely.
My next one is the extra trick taker I snuck in at the last minute, mainly because it's not just because it's a trick taker, but also because it's a Japanese one. This one is called Milkoro. Which is actually a re-implementation of another one called Trick Taking in Black and White, which is another Japanese game. Japanese designers love trick takers, and this one is pretty simple, but I think looks pretty cool. It's very black and white. It's kind of got the same thing of like a little bit like Scout style, where like there's a card with two numbers on it, and you choose which way around it is, essentially. But the idea with this is that you're taking tricks with your each card has got a number in black background with white number and a white background with a black number. And the two numbers will be different, and you're choosing at any point in the game when you're playing your tricks whether you're playing it as a black trick or a white trick. Obviously, if it's led as black, you've got to play a black number, that kind of thing. So the only suits are black and white, essentially. What you want to do is win exactly the same number of tricks, black tricks to white tricks. Otherwise, you're going to get a negative score. So I quite like that kind of interesting kind of dynamic of, rather than having four or five, six suits, you've actually got two, and you're just trying to make sure you've got parity between the two at the end of the round.
Yeah.
So super simple, and I'm intrigued. I'd be less inclined, because obviously if I was at Essen, I would try and get it, but because this is a Japanese design, I'm going to try and find this one in Tokyo. So this is now my mission game for when I go to Tokyo. The publisher is actually a place called Korokorodo, which is actually a cafe chain in Tokyo. They've got two board game cafes, so it's really interesting that they're actually the publisher for this game as well. So super interesting.
Yeah, cool.
I'm gonna couple here. So actually, I've got one here called Holiday Hijinks Number 9 Marriage Mix Up, and I didn't realise it was a line of other games that's come out before. But this one is actually Escape Room, so it could have gone in with my other lot I just talked about, and I actually didn't realise that. I just loved the name of Marriage Mix Up, but actually, all it is a Escape Room style game using 18 cards. So it'd probably be cheap as chips to pick up and everything. It also uses an app. It's app-driven. So it's quite cool that the fact that you've got an 18-card escape room.
I'm amazed the app... they're up to number 9 in the series. It's impressive.
Yeah. So I'll probably, as it's probably a very small game, probably just picked it up as a quick whim, give it a go, see what it's like. My party game for this list would be something called Caution Signs. Now, this is a mix of... How did I think of it before? What's a Telestrations versus something else? But the concept is, and it's very, very weak. Very, not weak, but... very simple, is you've got two cards that are triangle shaped with word. Well, each card has a word on, and you put them together and you make up this kind of sign, warning sign in the words, and then you've got to draw your warning sign and see if people can guess what your warning sign is that you've made in the words. I just thought it was cool. It's a funky little party game.
It does sound very silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds quite fun.
I do love Telestrations. It probably won't get to that kind of level. So, like, for example, they've got something like, on the front cover, you've got Flexible Cow or Smelly Baby. And so then you've got to try and, like, you've got dry erase boards and pens and try and draw that sign on your bit. So yeah, quick little party game, probably to spend 5-10 minutes wasting some time while you're waiting for other people to turn up. So yeah,
cool. Yeah,
that is my party.
I don't think I have any party games.
Yeah, you because you're not a fun guy, Nick.
It's nice to put some on. Yeah. I looked at some party games, but I rejected them because they looked too light for
too
me.
Too fun. They were too fun for you, weren't they?
So too much just... fun. I can't handle it. Right, I've snuck one more on the list because I'm obliged to get up to at least 7, which is everyone else. So this is another trick taker, which is why I haven't mentioned it yet. This is Panda Spin, and this is by Carl Chudik, who people may know from a number of games, most famously Glory to Rome. And Modern Eye and Red 7 and Innovation. And this has, it's very nice artwork. The artwork is, to me, is reminiscent of Tichu. It's got that kind of Chinesey, kind of very stylized artwork, which looks really nice. But in this game, trick taking, Jason. It's a ladder climbing game. But the cards are double headed. It's double sided. Basically, the top and bottom have different values, kind of like in Scout. But you have a red side and a blue side, and you will start on the red side, and you're playing tricks until you can't play a hand, and then if you want to, you can pass, which means then you pick up any cards that you have played out and you flip them over to the blue side. If there any were blue already, then you just discard them, and the opposite side, the blue side, have more powerful values, or they have like combinations of values like two queens or three eights or something, which makes your hand more powerful to going forward. Some of the cards have slight special abilities as well. And it just sounded like a really interesting twist, especially from Carl Chudik. I imagine it would be a really quite interesting concept to try out from him, to see so that's two big designers now that I've mentioned doing trick-taking games, Friedman and Carl Chudik. So yeah, I'd love to see how this one plays.
Oh, you'll be able to find out because I backed it.
Oh, sweet.
So another one for Devon DiceCon in 2021.
Yeah, I'm putting it on the list.
Nice. Sam, you got another one there? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so my last one is a game that I've been seeing kicking around for a while. I think I may have spoken about it before. It's from Board and Dice, and it's called Reef Project. And much like the one that Nick talked about, Conservus, this one's kind of ecological kind of themed game where you're attempting to sort of clean up the ocean and attract, you know, species back to the reef. So yeah, I was attracted by the look of it and the theme of it more than anything else, to be honest. But it sort of seems to sort of ring all the right bells again that I like, which is kind of set collection and stuff like that. I'm trying to quickly refresh myself about how it's played. I did read up earlier on, but I completely forgot. But it sounds like it's one of those games where you've got like a very simple thing of doing, essentially taking actions, or you're resting, and then resting action is where you score the points, and then the continuing action is where you sort of take all these different actions to clean the ocean, you know, attract species back to the reef. And just looks very busy on the board, but kind of might be a winner for me, thematically speaking. I'd want to play a demo of it, because it looks a bit busy for my normal tastes, but it's sort of it being, you know, now a scuba diver and stuff, I would quite like a game that kind of reflects that side of my hobby activities. So indeed, it would be cool to find.
And it looks,
there isn't, sorry, go on.
The artwork looks really nice on it. Again,
yeah,
the
just maybe a touch busy. I'm not sure. It might be a bit too
the board
much.
Is a bit full of bubbles with the water, but I think the artwork's really nice.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's a little bit heavier than, there's another one called Atoll, which kind of does a similar thing, although it's less about the kind of cleaning up of the ocean aspect. It's more about the kind of attracting stuff to a reservation, essentially, which might be more, you know, a lighter affair, and the same sort of thing. But Reef Project is the one that I've been seeing it kick around in sort of social media and stuff for a while, and it's the one that I've always went, oh, you know, quite like the idea of again, that ecological thing of sort of board games design sort of teaching players about the conservation efforts and stuff, you know, real world kind of important stuff. So yeah, don't know.
Yeah, looks interesting. Right, Joel, your final ones.
Yeah,
because you get more than us.
Sorry, my podcast. No, I'm kidding. One is called RIP, and Nick actually brought this to his attention, and then he's now kind of poo-pooed it. So he's read more into it than I have. So I'm going to let Nick kind of describe it again, because I actually love the front cover to this, because it kind of gives me, the vibe that it's meant to be giving off.
It's a great cover.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is, you're playing as a crime scene cleaning squad. So the front cover is all these kind of cleaning guys staring over. Obviously, you're lying on the floor as a dead body, and they're trying to clean it up. I'm trying to remember exactly what happens in it, because I haven't looked at it in quite a while. So I'm going to read out what the gameplay description is on Board Game Geek. So you're playing vice cards around certain items that you're trying to sneakily steal from the victims here. You know how many items are available, and some of them are face down, and you're just kind of effectively bidding on what you're going to get. And once there are enough cards around a certain item, then you reveal the vice cards that you bid with, and then whoever's got the highest wins it. It sounded to me kind of like Spirium, if people remember the game Spirium from 10 years or so ago, which is the game where you had like a grid of cards and you would place meeple between cards, and then whoever had the most meeple, once a card was surrounded, would claim that card and be able to do things with it. So it sounds quite like that, but it sounds like this is like the core mechanic, this is all it does. And you're trying to kind of do some set collection or something with the reason you're trying to get these things. But yeah, that's basically the game, I think, is that you are trying to steal these items off these dead bodies while you're cleaning up the scene.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'd probably just pick up for the front cover, to be honest, and then get very disappointed with the gameplay. So
it looks so good.
So my other one, and the Secret Cabal podcast, actually, we've already talked about this game, and it's really piqued my interest, and it's called Intent to Kill, and it's by Hobby World.
Hobby World, yeah.
And it's a two-player asymmetrical game where you are, one person is the detective, the other person is the killer, and you're trying to get the confession out of the killer. That's what I'm trying to remember because it's not loading up. I'm just like trying to pick out what they were describing. Thriller detector noir game in which you find yourselves in the middle of a police investigation, taking a role in a serial killer while the other shall become an experienced detective, following the tracks of the criminal. Yeah, so yeah, one's the killer, one's a detective, and you're trying to collect evidence and question the witnesses to get the truth. And there's different like killers or serial killers and different detectives which come with different kind of angles. So yeah, it looks quite cool. And I wonder whether it would be a good game for me and Claire if I was going to pick it up. So yeah. And Secret of Cabal highly rated it. So
cool.
So yeah, that is my last game, Intent to Kill.
Excellent.
It does say 2 to 4 players. Ah, I remember them saying that. So you basically, if you're playing with 4 players, if you're playing with 4 players, you do that kind of same role as the Mandalorian Adventures, where you're sharing player decks or player, you're sharing the characters, which they said actually kind of doesn't work. You might as well just stick with the 2 players. So it's that sort of thing, is like they've built in that like extra players just to get the player count up, because they're then isolating a majority of their majority of the market, aren't they? So but yeah. If you can make it work, you can make it work with more players, but it's probably best at 2. It does say best at 2. 94% of people said it's best at 2. So.
There we go. Cool.
That is... I mean, that's just a small sample of games that we've brought to the forefront.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many. It is ridiculous the number of games coming out. And it seems to be growing each year.
And they're still adding more. There's 9 more added while we were talking.
So yeah, Joel here. And we actually set, or I should say I set, another question in the Discord chat. And this time it was basically asking what people were looking forward to at the Spill Show as well. We had Board Game Jimmy come back with Civilization and SETI. Plus, he is also looking forward to the new expansion to Darwin's Journey. So Sam came back and said it's called the Komodo Dragon. Craig David, in 1987, came back with Black Forest. He's not sure if it was going to be at Essen. I believe it was. So yeah. Thanks for all the answers to our question. Do pop along to the Discord channel and you can participate in further questions in the future. Thanks to the guys that did this. It's always helpful to add some content. Yeah, that's it. I went on Tabletop Together and it's like, oh, some more games. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. But I didn't missed off the fact Sky Team's got the expansion coming out, but again, that's already attention. You can already pre-order that from the shops here, so I don't think it'd be long before that's out. That's why I never mentioned it. game.
New map pack for
Art
Nova. I would definitely be coming home with that.
Yeah, Art Nova and map pack, yeah.
About 400 other Japanese trick takers I'd come home with.
Quite a few.
One of the other demos I would definitely go and check out is the new edition of Colosseum.
Yes.
Which is kind of like one of those grail games just because of its rarity, really, wasn't anything else. But the new edition has some pretty spectacular looking cover art at the moment. I don't know what the end game will actually look like, but the cover art certainly looks the absolute business. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I can't remember what the artists were. They're having two different artists do. I know Ian O'Toole's one of them. Is the Miko the other one? I think it might be the Miko.
Could well be.
They're doing like two. They're like two versions of Colosseum. There's like the original one, and then there's like a adjusted design one, a bit like Brass and Brass Birmingham kind of style. They've got two different artists doing each version, but in a similar style. So I'm intrigued to see how that looks as well.
Yeah, there's another expansion I've just seen. I can't see where it's gone now. Oh, Paper Bat's got its 10th anniversary edition coming out, which actually is improving on not just the artwork, but actually introducing some extra elements to the game. So that looks quite cool. That's a new thing that just got added. White Castle expansion. No one put that down. Surprised with that.
I've still not played White Castle.
You've still not played it?
I'm putting that down.
Oh, wow.
No.
No, it's another
one. I keep not having the opportunity.
Another one for the Devon Dice Con.
I'm already doing things. Yes.
What's the expansion?
Loads.
There is. Well, there's also a little
Faraway expansion we mentioned.
Oh, that's it, Faraway expansion. I think that's the one I was thinking about.
There's one for Veil of Eternity as well. Mm-hmm. Coming out.
There's one for
Nucleum expansion.
Oh yeah, forget about that. Deep Sea Adventure had an expansion, which is
it's an alternate version, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just another set
of
dice
list as well. Yeah, but it's a slight change in the way it plays as well, isn't it? I can't remember what it was now, but it's
a
twist in the gameplay again.
Mm.
It's interesting reordering it by the number of thumbs on the preview, and just seeing what other people have marked, and half of what we talked about isn't even in the first page of results.
Kind of ignored the any that I've already played.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything that's already purchasable, pretty much as well, I kind of ignored.
Apart
from Bone Wars, which I've ordered, but
it's because it's going out, isn't it?
Until Essen time, sorry.
Well, and plus they're going out of
business, basically. Yeah. So they want to liquidate as much as possible as soon as possible. Yeah,
they're having a farewell.
One of the ones on all the other lists. There was you see the Minos Dawn of the Bronze Age. That was on
board. Nice one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Previews on board.
I've watched a playthrough of that, and it's standard Euro fare. It didn't excite me enough.
It looked like Tracks. It looks like another Tracks
game,
basically, indeed, to me when I saw it. But, it's just interesting that didn't appear on any of our lists. Obviously for a reason.
Bang the Dice game expansion.
I saw that.
I've got an expansion for it. I've got the Undead one, and actually all it does is ruin Bang the Dice game. So it's like one of those things. It's one of those games that doesn't need to be complicated or have any. It's like 7-1, like King of Tokyo with the power-up expansion. It doesn't need it because all it does is bloat it and make it run longer. You don't need it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Ruins the sort of slickness of the original. So...
the best thing is, it's not an expansion actually. There's like a big box kind of variant, but it comes in a TNT dynamite stick package, which is quite funky.
I did see that was quite cool.
So, I mean, on Tabletop Together Tool, SETI has been the rated, highest rated.
I've spoken enough about that, I think, on the Games Expo stuff. I'd be happy to try it, but at this point, I just need more information about it.
It's quite funny, isn't it? How I think it's one of those weird things where they announce it, it gets excitement because you think, oh, it's the new Czech Games one. It looks really cool. It's got this rotating stuff going on. And you know, we see it at the UK Games Expo and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it feels like there's a whole bunch of other stuff coming out at Essen that's been announced subsequently that's generating more buzz because, well, we already heard about SETI. Don't need to worry about that. Move on to the next
one. Exactly.
We haven't even seen yet. So it's quite interesting. I'll be interested. I mean, it says that it's like the most thumbed one here, but I'll bet you there's like half a dozen more that will have kind of overtaken by the time we get there.
Yeah.
Just because it was announced so much earlier and things, but we'll see. Yeah.
Yep.
Or it was interesting, it wasn't even on our list, purely because we've already seen it and spoken about it and saw it at the S Expo. And so.
Yeah, it was on my short list. It wasn't one that I just wanted to bring up ones that hadn't been discussed before, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of the stuff I would want to, if I was there, I'm going to come home with, was kind of like, or try to come home with, you know, was the stuff I would definitely get. So that's why most of it is smaller or kind of
thematic,
nice stuff, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I would say anything about the show, but it's a standard show. It's still over the six halls. They haven't actually gone into the seventh hall yet. So yeah, unfortunately, none of us are going. And
not this
maybe
year.
Next year. Maybe I convince Group Nick visit. To go. Maybe I convince Sam to go again.
Yeah, well, next year would be 10 years since it'd be the 10 years since I've been. So it'd be an interesting revisit. Yeah.
We can give this podcast a good close. If I lose my voice. So, yeah. Okay, so thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Please let us know what you're looking forward to in the upcoming show, what games you might get if you were going, or if you are going, let us know. You can send any comments and that about the podcast to our Discord, our email, X, Facebook, all the social media sites. One of us, well, probably just me, will pick it up. Definitely just me. Well, except for Discord. Discord's active. The others talk to there, except for Lewis, because he has to update it every time he logs it on. So, yeah, I hope you did like the show. And, stay tuned. More coming up. As I said, the next show, we will be looking back at mine and Claire's time at last year's show and revisiting the games that I purchased and just killed a daddy long legs that flew in front of me. Purchased and, probably get Claire's rating on them. And, I don't think I'll be allowed to take money in there next year. thank you, everyone. Time to say goodbye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye, all.
Bye now.